Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name's Gary V. I've been by the grace of God. Start all over. All right, my name's Gary and I'm an addict. Or an addict named Gary. And my clean date is July 10th, 1979. For that, I'm truly grateful. You know, I realized that I was supposed to talk about all these things one thing I've learned is that before I speak, I need to pray. Because if I don't, then I get in self-will, and sometimes it just goes stark raving fucking nuts. And that's not what it's about. Give you a little bit of history. I got clean because I got locked in a mental institution for shooting pool in my underwear. Which, when I get loaded, is not uncommon behavior. Because I don't know what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, or where I'm going to be next. And, do we have that meeting list? Topics, 1994 inventory, that's when, let me get a little bit of my personal history. When I got clean, I got clean in Houston, Texas. There was one meeting a week. And when I was in that mental institution, I am a firm believer in being able to work system. Because that's what I'd done my whole life, and I demanded it was my patient's rights that I could attend a meeting of my choice. And I chose Narcotics Anonymous because nothing else seemed to work. And the first meeting that I went to was kind of by mistake. I went to a meeting and I heard I was amongst the biggest bunch of liars, cheats, and thieves that I'd ever heard. You know, all they did is tell war stories and one-upmanship, and you don't know so-and-so, and you haven't been here, and you haven't done that. And I felt right at home. Because I knew the game was on. And then the chairperson at meeting spoke. Had about 5 years clean, and in Texas at that time, 5 years clean was a long fucking time. How's anybody stay clean 5 years? I couldn't manage 5 days. Well, maybe. And so from my very first meeting, I found a home. I found a home called Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been home ever since. You know, I've often heard that relapse is part of recovery. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not part of recovery, it's part of the disease. Period. You don't have to if you don't want to. And, I had dreams, and one of my dreams was that I wished there was a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous every 4 blocks, because I knew that I could run 4 blocks without getting loaded. So that was an unrealistic dream? Maybe so, but it probably not really unrealistic today. You know, when I got clean in Houston in 79, there was one meeting a week, average of 8 people. Now there's over 300 meetings a week. So could I run from one meeting to another without getting loaded? Probably, you know. I got involved, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. You know, with one meeting a week, you don't have the option of saying, oh, let so-and-so do it. He'd be much better than I would, because there was no so-and-sos around. You know, I did what I did because I had to. Sometimes I didn't want to. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's too much like work. You know, and I had those old ideas about how I could beat the system. And you know, when you get clean, you don't let go of those old ideas right off the bat. I still want to know how I could beat the system. Now the thing is, I started learning a little bit. I had that moment of clarity about I might have a problem. I had a very strong denial. Now it's everybody else's fault. If they just leave me alone, I'd be all right. Until I got the reality, it's not them, it's me. It's not them. I can't blame others for my problems. I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame anybody. I'm an addict. If somebody would ask me when I was growing up, or what are you gonna be when you grow up? Well, I won't be a drug addict. You wouldn't have heard me say that. See, I had the dreams of a more normal child. And didn't work very well, you know. In fact, I was just outside talking about drug of choice. And I was asked by a drug counselor, what's your drug of choice? And I had a problem. So I said, what do you got? Because I take anything, you know. And the truth had finally become self-evident. There was no more denial left. And when I got involved in Narcotics Anonymous, it was about not going to meetings, but getting meetings started so I could go to them. You know, back then they didn't have 90 meetings in 90 days because that was impossible. I believe that, another fellowship, wonderful. That's great. I could see people changing their lives and learning to be happy, and I wanted to know when it's my turn. When's it my turn? Because I didn't fit. See, I still had that thing is, no matter where I went, I didn't fit. And I was different. And what I found in Narcotics Anonymous was total acceptance. You know, my behavior was a little extreme, so was my addiction. You know, if I went to a meeting, somebody looked at me wrong or they mad dogged me, I thought it was okay to just pick up a chair and throw it at it. Until I went to a meeting, somebody mad dogged me and I picked up a chair and I threw it at him, and this big old boy came over that was chairing the meeting. He says, Gary, put his arm around me, he says, you know, that's inappropriate behavior. No one had ever told me that before. I didn't know what he was talking about. So I started learning about inappropriate behavior. He used to have an old saying, when you get a horse thief clean, what do you got? You got a clean horse thief. That's all. And so I started reading the steps of, I can't do that one. I'm powerless over my addiction, but my life's not unmanageable. I can handle it. As long as everybody does things the way I want it to, everything be fine. Till I learned that everybody was doing things the way I wanted to, and my life wasn't fine. It was a mess. I was devoted to chaos. Loved it, thrived it. You know, didn't know what to do if there wasn't any. So, you know, I was told some, in no uncertain terms, things that I didn't want to hear. I don't want to hear that. You know, and hardcore. I thank God for the hardcore Narcotics Anonymous members today. You know, I was told, sit down, shut up, and work the steps or die. And I was told all those things, and I didn't want to hear. And the thing is, I needed to hear those things. You know, this ain't about you. That was one of the main things. Now, I knew I was a drug addict, but I didn't know that that was just a symptom. What is the root of my disease? Self-centeredness. I didn't even know I was self-centered. I thought all them other people were. And, you know, we got several meetings started, and I think I had about three, we got an area service started, and then I moved to a little town called Alvin, Texas, and we started another area service, so we had a Houston area service, and a little group in Alvin, Texas, and it kind of branched off. They started meetings in Galveston, Texas City, so we started another area. And then I found out that they had something going on up in Dallas I didn't know nothing about. So it was during that explosion, you know. I don't know whether the 78 World Convention being held in Texas had anything to do with it or not, but I know that 79 is when I got the message. You know, and what was I willing to do? Man, I was so willing. If they told me in order to stay clean, I had to stand on the head, my head in the corner and stack BBs, I would have tried it. You know, but he didn't. He said, you got to just work these simple steps. Well, can I work them my way? And I looked them over. You know, I looked at all 12 and I said, oh yeah, these take me about 15 minutes. You know, until I had to get real. And, you know, when recovery didn't really take effect until I started working the steps. Once I started working the steps, I knew that there had to be more to it, and so we started meetings, and we started areas, and, you know, Houston Area Service elected me as an ASR, Area Service Representative, back in those days, and they sent me out to California to go to WSC. Well, don't you know I'm somebody? They take me and send me to California. Now, all I did is buy me a round trip plane ticket and told me you can fend for the rest. You can eat. You're going to eat while you're here. You can eat while you're there. And, you know, back in those days, one addict sleeping on another addict's floor wasn't a problem. Did it all the time. He didn't like it. I didn't like it. That's just the way it was. And it was at that convention or a conference in 1983, I started to learn some things. I felt a lot of fear. I said, oh my God, I'm going to California. That's the mecca of recovery. And I went to the service conference and I was scared to death, but I'm not going to tell them that. And they made me the Texas State Representative. Now you talk about taking a small fish and putting it in a big pond, that's why I felt. And 83 was one of those miraculous years because there was a whole lot of shit going on. And I didn't understand a lot of it because we didn't do a group conscience on it. There was more important things for us to do, like staying clean. See, primary purpose was carrying a message that no addict had to die of the disease of addiction. So that was my primary focus when I was sent to California as an ASR, and all the shit was happening, and basic text came out, and you know, when I'm scraping enough money to try to buy lunch, and they come out with a basic text for, I don't remember what, $6, something like that, $8, way more than I had. So I borrowed some money from another drug addict and promised to pay him back. That kind of brought back some old memories. And I was baffled. I didn't know what was going on. I knew about this thing called group conscience. I studied the traditions. It's kind of like W.C. Fields studying the Bible, and he was a devout atheist. They said, W.C., what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for loopholes. That's what I was doing when I was studying tradition. Third tradition, I loved it. You can't kick me out of here. And that worked real good until I got kicked out of a meeting. Then it didn't work so good anymore. You know, I had that belief that, look, it's my way or the highway. Now you can go or I can go. But that's the way that I learned to live. So I didn't change those things. Didn't change them overnight, for sure. And, you know, when I came up in, basically I got involved and I got it. Involved in recovery. Now I got a coin in my pocket, it's got four sides to it. One of those sides, equally divided, says service. So I got involved in service work. And you know, what I learned is you don't come to an anonymous program trying to be somebody. If you work the steps, you find out who you are. You know, I can remember that first four-step, and man, it scared the shit out of me. I didn't know what to do. I ran to other meetings. I said, oh, man, I'm not going back to that meeting anymore. They're on a four-step. So I drove 90 miles to go to a different group. When I got there, they were on a four-step. I went to 9 meetings in a row trying to hide, running out fight or flight syndrome. I know all about that because I was in flight. 9 meetings in a row were on a four-step in different parts of the country. I couldn't hide anymore, you know. So I did it. Fearless moral inventory. I don't know about that. I was scared to death. I'm scared tonight, getting up here at a microphone talking to everybody. I'd rather be home feeding my horses, you know. But I knew, I've learned how to get over those fears, you know, not to react to them, and be of service. And they used to have this thing called selfless service. And I had to learn what that was. And what it is, it's not about me at all. And, you know, so getting involved in service, there was a whole lot going on from 83 on. And, you know, and I got involved and I stayed involved. I tried, and I made a commitment to myself. In 1983, when I was an ASR at the WSC, I made a commitment. I says, I don't know how, but But by the next WSC, and they had them every year, Texas will have a region. And I was going to do whatever I had to do to make that happen. And we formed the Lone Star Region, first region in Texas, in October of 1983. Been going ever since. Now, I never thought of myself as a person with vision, and the vision I had is not just one region for the state of Texas. That ain't even good sense. You know, willing to do a speaker meeting. I had a sponsee move from Houston, actually moved from Alvin to Lubbock, which ain't very far. It's only about a 10, 12-hour drive. You know, it's about 900 miles. But I was willing to do it, you know. And I drove out there and did a speaker meeting. Why? Because I was asked to. That's the only reason I needed. You know, in this process of getting involved in service, I came up with the 94 inventory, and I didn't understand that. You know, it was kind of like being at the that first WSC. Why do you want to stop? I mean, the primary purpose ain't gonna stop. I'm still gonna do what I gotta do. And I couldn't understand why. Doing a world inventory, I could understand the want, but I didn't understand the how. And I was in disagreement with this. And when they came out with the was a resolution group report in 93, it was pretty clear. You know, it gave me some direction to go. Not that I agreed with all of it, but it gave me some direction to go. And I was able to take this information to my region and be a part of discussion and solution, adaptation, what would work and what wouldn't work. We didn't know. I know, left to my own devices, I'm a goner. And I try to outthink this disease all day long to no avail. And when they came up with resolutions, I thought, how brilliant. And, you know, I learned about Resolution A. In fact, I learned about all the resolutions, and they all passed. Now, the only one that was not acted on was Resolution A. And I often wondered why. What's the holdup? I've been given direction. Well, we can't decide. See, I understood Resolution A, but we couldn't decide on Model 3, Model 4. So we didn't do nothing. And it was just kind of put under the rug. In Oklahoma, we got a saying, you get around to it. We'll handle that when we get around to it. And that's pretty much what happened. You know, they went on, and I was in favor of the Resolution A, and I was in favor of Model 4, a national committee. I was all for it. Why not? What we had to lose? Transition group came up with some great ideas. They just didn't pay much attention to them. Do they, let's see, it's the we and the they, us and them. Always been like that. Is it going to change? Not today. You know, when it came up about that single board and disbanding WSC committees, I didn't understand that. why the hell would you want to change something that has worked so well? And I knew about the checks and balances, you know, that's how I used my sponsor. I used him as a system of checks for me, because when I would think something, it doesn't mean it's right. And so I'd run it by him. I said, what do you think? So I used a system of checks and balances, because I know left to my own devices, I'm a goner. And it is my opinion, when we went with that single board, we lost that. We gave it up. Trusted servants? Sure. I trust you. I trust you with my life. Until you show me that I can't trust you no more. You know, the thing that I was shown was, I really can't trust you no more. You know, they had the disbanding of the WSC committees. And I was involved in a couple of committees, and it damn sure wasn't a picture of perfection. We made a lot of mistakes, and we learned a lot. You know, it was part of that learning curve. It was part of the evolution of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's not how you're going to do things, because things are going to evolve. It's what you're doing. Fulfilling the primary purpose? Yeah. Did we do a lot of things wrong? Absolutely. So why are we going to change that when we're learning so much? The explosion of Narcotics Anonymous? Without parallel. Till not even today. It's without parallel. And, you know, that's probably why I'm a member of the United States Service Conference, because I believe that everything in Narcotics Anonymous should be based on group conscience. You know, do we do everything right? Not at all. Are there personal conflicts and things involved in the United States Service Conference that could be changed? Absolutely. But I think it's better than what we've got. You know, it's an option. To me, it's an option, and it's a very good option. It's an option that was brought forth in Resolution 8 and passed the World Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Thought it was a damn good idea, you know. I'm not one of those people who got a 30-year resentment. You know, I learned about resentments in Narcotics Anonymous. Resentments are the poison that I take to kill you. And I'm not willing to go there today. You know, I've been taught to act in a kind and loving manner. Hard to do sometimes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. You know, live in progress, not perfection. You know, and I believe in our evolution. One of the things that I have been learned about very thoroughly is the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. And without those, we try to become self-governing. We develop means of corporate governance instead of group conscience. And you know, the traditions warned us about this. This money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. You know, I've been told by a few higher ups or lower downs, however you want to look at them, that what's going to happen? See, we got this 5-year planning thing, and this is what's going to happen. And I went to the WSC in 2014. I'd never seen manipulation like that in my life. It's sad, very sad. I saw the governance, it wasn't no doubt. I mean, you couldn't hide, it was there. I talked to people, you know. And the one thing that I do believe more than anything in my life is the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous will survive. So there's a lot of disagreement. Things will be overcome. Gotta hope so. Because if they don't, we're headed down a bad road. You know, and our traditions warn us about it. Do I want to see it happen? Hell no. I wish everybody was happy and just get along, you know. But that's not the way it is. Diversity? There's more diversity in Narcotics Anonymous than you can even imagine. But it doesn't have to be our division factor. It can be a strength. You know, we're not all going to agree on how, what, why, and where. But we can't agree to disagree. Thank you for allowing me to be a service.